Are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You're listening to Problem Corner on KFAR, 660 on your AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial. We also live stream at kfar.com. If you'd like to call into the show today, the number is 458-TALK. That's 458-8255. Don't forget the 907. Never forget the 907.
Not anymore.
All right, just now getting used to that. So I'm your guest host, Brett Roederman. David does once again allowed me to pinch hit for him. You had me yesterday with Will Stapp, and today I've got Tammy Wilson in here. So, as many of you know, I'm a local business owner, but I also serve on the Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly. And if any of you have been paying attention to what we've been doing, you'll know that I actually don't have to do what I'm about to do, but I'm going to give my disclaimer anyway. These views are mine. They're mine alone. They do not represent the Fairbanks North Star Borough, nor the Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly. So,
and to help the clerk out, I have the same disclaimer that I am a frustrated assembly member to share some of my frustration, but they are mine and mine alone.
There you go. So, yes.
It might be yours by the end of the show.
So, Tammy Wilson is in here with me today. So, yesterday I had Will Stapp on, so we talked about some state issues and federal issues. So, let's bring stuff back local here. So, one of the big local things that's been going on here is the newbie baseball field, which the borough basically pulled funding for in probably 2016. And then we recently agreed to rent it to a user group. And then I'm going to let Tammy Wilson fill you in on the rest of the story because it's a good one.
So let's just start at the beginning because it was Jack Wright, who was the mayor of North Pole. And once he wasn't mayor anymore, he came out and he had newbie park and he started it. And they started building on it and doing a wonderful job. And then they were doing so well, the borough said, hey, we could do it better. We'll take it. Yeah. How does that work? Like you just said, they didn't maintain it very long. If they maintained it at all, we don't even know if any money was even dropped into the borough.
We weren't able to find any of the history.
We couldn't even find any of it. And so it, at some point, got changed at 75 acres, moved from the Parks Division over to land management. It did not change its designation because everybody's like, oh, well, it's not a park anymore. No. They just weren't funding it and therefore got moved over because we could, again, find nothing to show that there was anything done for that. So we have a user group. Hey, we'll do it. We've already been doing most of it anyway. Why don't we come and we'll do it. We'll lease it. We were going to try to buy it, but that's a really complicated part. So we're going to have to suspend a lot of rules to make that happen. But right now, we want to get them on the field. So how hard can that be? Well, it's government, right? And we're here to help you.
We make it harder.
So first of all, there were gates, right? Why would there not be a gate on it? So the borough states, and they said this again yesterday when we met with them out there at Newbie Park, that, well, there were so many user groups and people were putting all different locks on. So instead of just taking the locks or putting a note saying, you are trespassing, you need to go through us, nobody can do that, they took the gates off. So hello, four-wheelers and snow machines and anything else that wanted to come in there.
And destroy the field.
And then you say, well, no big deal, right? We'll just put the gates back on. Well, nobody knows where the gates went. So, there's a first expense, right, that goes to there. So we passed that ordinance about a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they put in an application to start the process of, getting a lease, which the borough writes all the time. And yesterday, land management wants to know if they want to do a temporary lease because it's quicker. So if it's quicker, why didn't we do this a month ago? And of course, it comes with a fee, which they may or may not be able to waive. Just to remind those who are following the story, this is from a borough who let it get trashed. Used to have bathrooms, had a concession stand, had a whole bunch of other things
that are
pretty much destroyed. Maybe they can bring some of it back to life, but borough is the one who allowed that, not the user group. Well, of course, the gentleman who are running this show and trying to get it done says, we have a lot of people who want to volunteer, but they don't want to do it on a temporary permit because guess what, Borough? You have a bad reputation. And we can see you doing the temporary one and never giving us the one, you know, that we came forward in the ordinance. And the ordinance only states, and this is where some confusion comes, is that they can rent it under value, right? They didn't have to keep it. They just have to keep it as a park. It doesn't say, you know, how the lease is written, or which it should have. Now knowing, and I should have known better, maybe we should have the lease attached, you know, to it because the borough seems not to be able to get there. So here they are trying to bring in the money and do some things at the end, get some dugouts done, you know, at the end of the summer. And the borough's just like blockade, blockade, blockade for no reason because, again, they still have no money. And, okay, I hope you're sitting down because this is the most ironic. So we're out there yesterday and someone, and we don't know who, puts like four, they're kind of like telephone poles, but they're shorter. But you could tell it looks like it's going to be like they wanted to put some kind of building right there. They're going to use it for part of the structure. But it's really close to the electric lines that the borough didn't know that they had on the fields that they were paying electric on this park, right? Because they're so wanting to. And nobody knows where they came from. Borough doesn't know. The user group doesn't know. Nobody knows.
And remember, folks, this is even though the funding for this park was cut, apparently we think in around 2016 – we didn't get rid of the park. We didn't sell it. It's still ours. It's still our property. Basically, we walked away, and then user groups continued to use. I didn't know this. Many of the baseball teams in this town that, who came to our meeting and testified, you know, they've been using this field for years and trying to take care of it themselves.
The high school did. The high school used it for all their games. Yeah. And church groups use it, and they want to put soccer fields. All they want to do is make a very nice place for residents to be able to utilize, which is so ironic because the group that currently is on the assembly and supposedly the mayor are all for green space and parks and everything else and know that, you know, again, we went, you know, over $8.5 million into our savings account. So here you have a group not asking for anything except to be able to build it up and, you know, and use the community to make it a place that not just for sports, but right now we do Cruising with Santa in the parking lot of Safeway. Great that, you know, that they allow us to do that, you know, the people who own the parking lot. But at the same time, they've still got businesses going on, you know, and you've got kids running back and forth. It'd be a perfect place to do something like that or farmers markets or any type of group things, you know, for North Pole, and for the kids to be able to actually play in their community and not have to come to Fairbanks for everything that they have to do. And so I don't know what their problem is, but they absolutely have a problem. And it may take more people coming out. Maybe we'll have to do a resolution that will sound really stupid, but hey, Burl, you know, you need to follow through with what we asked you to do because they're just killing the motivation for it. Because again, it's like you got one step closer, but did you really?
Yeah, and in all reality, the only thing that this group, this user group, asked us for was, could we please lease it at less than fair market value? I think they organized as a nonprofit,
yep.
And they just want to go in, clean this up, return it to not just their user groups, but the entire community.
Absolutely.
Honestly, they just want this. There's a lot of history with this park. I didn't know any of the history that went behind that park until we had, you know, that meeting. So, all right, well, that's a good start to the show here to get everybody wound up. So, well, we'll go into our first commercial break here. We'll be right back after this with Tammy Wilson.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Today's Valley's Fishing Report is proudly brought to you by 49th State Remodeling and Restoration, Alaska's trusted name in quality work. From drywall and painting to full kitchen and bath remodels, pressure washing, flood and fire restoration, even sandblasting, gutter cleaning, driveway surfacing, and log home restoration. Summer or winter, they'll even go remote, serving Alaska statewide with over 20 years of experience. Call 907-378-5610. Remodel, restore, big or small, they handle it all. Your upgrade starts with 49th State Remodeling and Restoration.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound.
Lori Prox here with Lloyd Fanter of Eagle River, Alaska. You reeled in a 264.8-pound halibut, and you were on board with a bunch of captains on your day off when you reeled this sucker up. And I know you're pretty excited to reel in a big fish like that, but how has the halibut fishing been this season, and what do you think the odds are of a bigger fish coming to port are?
I've been doing pretty good for the season. I've been doing pretty consistently, bringing in 40s to 100-pound fish this year. It's my second year as a captain, and get a little bit better than last year, being a little bit more consistent.
What do you like about fishing?
Oh, all kinds of things. Being out there, being away from everybody in the hustle bustle of town, just having the excitement when you get a fish on. Doesn't matter really what the size is. The tug is a drug, I guess. It's the excitement.
How did the rest of the boat do?
Everyone did pretty good. I think our smallest fish on the boat was probably about 35 pounds maybe. We were quite a ways out there, so I think we were one person shy of getting a limit, but we had to get back in time to make that weigh-in.
So
we had to pick up and go. So we got our rockfish and our wing cod, and I think we were just two halibut short, but that's the sacrifice you make when you're trying to make a deadline and getting in on time.
If you're looking to catch a big halibut, silver salmon, or rockfish in Valdez, get geared up at the Prospector in Valdez. Need boots or rain gear? Prospector's got it. Our Valdez store has rods, reels, tackle, bait, and even coolers to bring your catch home too. Talk to our local experts and get the right gear for Prince William Sound. The Prospector's open late all summer.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
KFAR Weather.
Cloudy skies expected today with a slight chance for isolated showers. High temperatures reach up to 67, southeast winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Chance for isolated showers. Lows dip down to about 51. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
All right, Fairbanks, welcome back to Problem Corner. I'm your guest host, Brett Roderman. I've got Tammy Wilson in here. We were talking a little bit about the newbie baseball park. We got a couple of calls here. Let's see,
see if I remember how to
work the phones here. All right, caller, are you with us? Oop, wrong button. Let's try that again. Caller, are you with us?
Hello, yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes. Well, good afternoon, Tammy, and I appreciate you guys being on today. I got a question about this Fedco thing and the Polaris building.
Okay.
Actually, two questions. First one is, what has Fedco ever done for the borough?
Taking our money.
Yeah. What is it, $500,000 a year?
I think we're down to 300,000. I want to say 400,000.
I think the last one was 350 or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, so I mean, I've always wondered that. You know, I've pondered that issue of why are we spending. I think back in the day it was $500,000 a year when Jim.
It was.
So we probably, I don't know how many tens of millions of dollars we spent on Fedco, and I just wondered what we got out of it. Now I'm kind of curious, why are we getting involved with this Polaris building, and what is the actual, I think one of you voted yes and one of you voted no. Am I right on that?
For which,
not on the
which
Polaris
issue?
Building.
Not on the Polaris building. That hasn't been us.
That hasn't come to the assembly.
Right. That's not part of the assembly.
It might
that's,
be the city.
That's the city.
I thought there was a borough ordinance because it involves Fedco.
Well, there, for Fedco, it was them to be an arbor, which allows them to do things, but not the but nothing on the Polaris building itself. Right now, that belongs to the city, and actually the borough has no control over, you know, what happens there at this point.
Yeah,
I'm confused because I kept seeing Fedco, and all of those documents involving the ordinance that was trying to figure out who was going to get to decide which magic button to push on this Polaris opportunity for whatever.
So that could be the city, though, because the city also gives money to Fedco every year. I think they give like $50,000. So they have, you know, so you may have seen the ordinance, but I'm thinking it must have been on the city of Fairbanks side.
Yeah, the only
it said you voted against it, Tammy, which I happen to agree with. There was two yeses or two noes and four yeses on it.
That might be the funding of FETCO itself.
It could have been the funding that you might be thinking about the funding.
Or the ARPA, either one.
And the recent one that we've been dealing with is to allow FETCO to take over as the ARDOR.
ARDOR.
So there might be a little bit of confusion there. But we definitely don't have anything to do with the Polaris building.
Yeah, I'm definitely confused. All righty. Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Well,
at least I voted the right way. I'm good.
Yeah, if you're confused enough, yeah. I guess you probably should throw your hat in the ring and run for office, you know. So.
I don't know if I'm not confused.
Right. Good for you. All right. Thank you.
See you later.
All right. We got one more here. Let's try this. Let's see if they
try that button.
Yep.
Nope, not that button either. How about this button?
Okay, caller, are you with us?
Yes, I am. My name is Nathan, and I got to change the subject. so I was calling to see if there is any way we can get put on the actual voting ballot to get rid of property tax.
Well, that's
yes,
going to be a good...
You yes, could. I you mean, could. So you could put anything on the ballot that's legal. One year, it was kind of interesting. I believe what it was is that didn't the city of Fairbanks, they put a sales tax on, and I believe it was to get rid of property tax. They were trying to interchange the two, so they had two initiatives. So they voted no sales tax, and they voted yes no for no property taxes, and yeah, that didn't go well. Anything has to do with taxes, even if we go on the borough side, has to go to the voters. So,
right.
So you would have to do an initiative just like we do for the tax cap and get a certain percentage of it. But you would have to pretty much come up with something within the same initiative of where are you going to get your funding from.
Right. So you'd have to write like something that would be like the right type of legal terms for what would be the replacement for it.
Right, and you'd want that all in the same initiative, because otherwise, if you said, you know, are you in favor of getting rid of property taxes, and, you know, that got a yes, and you said, do you want a sales tax, the majority of people are going to say no, and then you end up with no, you know, funding, I mean, mostly for the schools. I mean, a lot of the other stuff, you know, everybody can kind of weigh in on what they think of the other stuff the borough does. But, yeah, you would have to have an exchange of how to be able to fund the government parts you want.
Right. Well, I think people are starting to come around to the idea of getting rid of property tax.
Yeah, I don't think
the fact that I think people are. There's a lot more talk. People are talking a lot more about it, about actually physically owning your home, and not having to lose it, or being able to give your property to somebody else without having them taxed on it.
Like right.
You give your kids. You can give your kids your house, and they won't be taxed on it.
Right. Yeah.
I know they tried that a few years ago, and they kind of did, I mean, many years ago, I want to say like almost 15 years ago, if not a little bit longer,
how much taxes
you had and what the sales tax would have to be and how many people mm-hmm. would. Cause I'm pretty sure it was sales tax people were bringing up and kind of where that even part is. And I think what ended up happening mostly with it is that if you were low income, you know, you would literally end up paying more money into it with sales tax, you know, unless you, and here's what happens with sales tax. If you get in front of people, then they want to say, well, not food, not pharmacy, not this, not that. They tried it on the state level, and literally the list just kept growing on what you were exempting, to where by the end of the day, you weren't even bringing enough money in to be able to do the setup of the tax in the first place.
Or administer
right.
it.
Administer it.
Just the administration behind the tax is, you know, you got to hire people to do all that stuff.
Correct.
So.
Well, they already have the people that do the, they already have, the people at the borough could just, they'd have to switch, instead of doing the housing and assessing, they'd have to switch to do the sales tax.
That's true. I mean, you probably wouldn't really grow the government in that fashion.
I mean,
but you still have to have the assessing, though. See, and that's where, even without property taxes, so the assessment part also has to do with how school funding is done. So you would still have to have somebody out there valuing the property as a borough, because that's how they get the number of kind of like what the maximum amount of money we can give and the minimum amount that we have. It's based on the you know, property value, and they even do personal value when it comes to those formulas. So you wouldn't really cut that department completely out.
I don't think anybody should be assessing your property. If you own your property, then it shouldn't be being assessed at all.
Well, I completely agree with you on that, but I mean, you had to go talk to Will and those others down in the state.
Yeah, that's more of a state issue. But it's an interesting topic. I'm going to let you go, caller. Tammy and I will kind of wrap up on that because, definitely. I've got one thought for you anyway, but thanks for the call.
Yep. Thank you.
My thought is you do what a lot of people do. They just move outside the borough.
I think there's a lot of them talking about that and going to Delta and others because especially when you already live on the outskirts and you're not really getting any of those. But, I'll just use a simple idea. You know, let's put boxes in so people can, you know, donate, especially out of town when they're going to our different things. I come back with somebody goes, you could buy those, you know, donation boxes for $5,000. I'm like, that seems self-defeating that the money that we're going to be giving, that the first $5,000 has to go to a box to give donations.
Right.
But that's just the thinking of it, right? And it's like there are other ways of being able to offset things. And people that user groups are usually the best that have no problem doing that. But then we make it so costly on how to do that. That's why they go back to property taxes because, one, it's hard to, you know, that's why we have a tax cap, right? Because at least we can somewhat control how much the borough makes in. If you start adding a sales tax, that doesn't affect people in the same fashion as what it pays on their homes. But I also agree that nobody should ever lose their home because of back taxes. We're trying to figure that one out right now.
Yeah. That's something that we're just in the beginning phases of looking into. Don't know where it's going to go, but and I can tell you, you know, from personal experience, if you start mentioning the word sales tax around town, you will definitely stir up a lot of people. I thought for years that a sales tax was could be a potential solution to some of this, but there's a lot of stuff that goes into a sales tax that you don't think about until you got to really study sales taxes and see how they affect people. And the worst part is they affect the lowest income people.
And then they start increasing 0.25% here and 0.5% where we came from. When we left, it was 6.25%. It's at 8.5% now. And that's how they did it. 0.25% for this and 0.25% for this. And, you know, and they're good causes, don't get me wrong. But before long, it becomes, you know, now you're paying more money, you know.
Yeah, and once it goes up, it never comes back down.
There is no such thing as a temporary tax.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, with our assessments, you know, the assessments always seem to go up. They never really go down.
Even when everything goes down, right?
Even when the market goes down, somehow or another, the assessments stay the same.
Absolutely.
You know? Or they go up. So it's a tricky, it's a really tricky question. But, you know, for a lot of people, they just simply packed up and moved outside the borough.
And all taxation, when it comes to that, all has to go back to the voters in a second-class borough. So I agree with you. I don't think, you know, as many people don't want to pay property taxes, they literally really don't like government enough to give anything to them.
Right.
But, you know, there are certain essentials that we're required to have.
But I guess the short answer to the caller's question is, yes, you can get anything on the ballot that you want to if you're willing to go out and get the signatures. And
if people are willing to sign a petition.
If they're willing to sign the petition and you have to get a certain percentage of the overall voters.
Of the last election.
From the last election. It's a certain percentage that you have to get to, you know, sign that for you. So the answer is, you can get anything put on there. So
if it's legal. You can't put illegal things on there.
Right, yeah.
Not that we ever would, but so that we can say, Tammy and Brett said I put anything on there I want to.
Yeah. So it still has to be
little
legal.
Little disclaimer.
It still has to be legal. Okay, we're going to go into the bottom of the hour break here with some Madonna bumper music, my favorite. So we'll leave you with that. We'll be back after this.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM.
Fox News, I'm Tom Graham. Two children are dead, 17 others are injured, 14 of them kids. Police say a gunman opened fire at a Minneapolis Catholic church while students were in the pews.
These kids were literally praying. It was the first week of school. They were in a church.
Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey, two of the injured are in critical condition. Leaders across the country reacting. Fox's Mike Tobin.
House Speaker Mike Johnson says he's heartbroken after the shooting at the Annunciation Catholic School in Minneapolis. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries calls the shooting horrifying and says, quote, weapons of war have no place in our neighborhoods, streets, or schools. Police say the suspected shooter is dead after opening fire at the school.
He reportedly took his own life. Investigators say he was armed with a rifle, a shotgun, and a pistol. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska's news source reports a body was found washed up on a beach in Nome last week, according to the Alaska Department of Public Safety. The body was found near Front Street and Beam Road, just outside the city limits of Nome on Friday morning. The department says beachcombers found the body and alerted the Nome Police Department and Nome Volunteer Fire Department, which responded to the scene. DPS described the corpse as being in the late stages of being decomposed and was dressed in winter gear. They also added that the body was unrecognizable. The body was sent to the state medical examiner's office and they will work to determine the person's identity. The investigation into the death is ongoing. And finally, a 16-year-old boy died after the side-by-side ATV he was piloting crashed into a trailer hitch along the Richardson Highway in Delta Junction early Saturday. The Alaska Department of Public Safety says troopers responded to a parking lot near the highway where the teenager driving the side-by-side struck the hitch of a parked gooseneck trailer that was not connected to a vehicle.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Summer means getting out, which means a visit to Six Robleys on South Cushman for trailer parts, RV supplies, light truck parts, even heavy-duty truck parts. And they can get you out on the road with confidence, whether it's a trip to Chitna or a trip down the haul road. Have peace of mind, thanks to Six Robleys.
Six Robleys, we keep the wheels turning.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
All right, Fairbanks, we are back in the studio with Tammy Wilson. I'm your guest host, Brett Roderman. We were having a good chat there. That's sorry for the dead air, but yeah, we were having a good chat. And actually, that last caller is kind of a good lead-in for what we should talk about next, which is the tax cap.
Which is on an initiative. So first of all, just so y'all know, you did vote on it last year, and you actually voted on it twice. We had the May 7th election that you said that you wanted to keep it the way it is right now. You voted to renew it in October, but then we still need to get signatures this year. And we have the most signatures I can remember. We have to get 2,976 signatures. And so you're like, how can I help? Isn't that what they were saying? How can I help? I know you have to go to the borough building. And here's the ironicness. The state runs their initiatives different than what they force boroughs to do. I just learned that. That's just stupid. Because like the state, I could go and grab the books and I could hand one to Brett and I could hand one to Loa and Joe and Jill. And nobody would have to go to the borough and get it, right? But that's not the way they set it up for us. For us locally, we have to go to the borough building, which most people don't want to do, go to the clerk's office. It takes 5 minutes, and you get a booklet. Do you need to fill that whole booklet up? No, you don't. I would be happy and delighted if you got 25 or 30, because we are about 1,000 short, and we have until September 20th, a couple days before, but we try to get them in so we can count them. And what if everybody just got their family, friends, maybe they were able to take it to work and got like 20, 25 signatures, we would make it easily. But instead, you know, we have a handful of people to do it. The fair, with all their fighting back and forth, was not very well attended, which didn't help. The borough clerk happened to be out of town when it supposedly had to come through her, so they didn't get to use the solstice, which is the first time that happened. Paid for it, was ready for it. And guess what? It came out the day after the solstice fair. I know. I'm from North Pole. I believe it was on purpose. But that's how we feel in North Pole. So, you know, so there was a lot of things going on. But it's not that we can't make it, because I'm going to ask this to Brett as an assembly member, but his own thoughts. What do you think those other members on our assembly would think if we were not able to get the signatures?
I believe they would be dancing in the streets, honestly.
Scott Kras brings it up all the time,
yep,
that all the problems are because they can't tax you more.
Yep. And we do have a current assembly member who was caught on recording saying we've got to get rid of this antiquated tax cap. That's the solution to our problems, is getting rid of the tax cap.
So what would it do? What it would do is that, okay, so if we're not able to get it, then what happens is that the assembly then would still have to reverse it. They couldn't just do it. They would have to take it out of code, which they would instantly. And they have the votes to do that. And they would then on the next, not next year, because it's still in for 2 years, but the following year, they would be able to make the sky the limit. There would be nothing stopping them. If they wanted to double your property taxes, they could. They absolutely could. And you want to see how many people move out of this area fast? There you go. But it's in our hands. And I'm just telling you, Brett, I am so tired of hearing people say, but they're going to get my name and send me all this crap. Guess what, guys? They're going to send you all the crap anyway. It's not because of this that they do it. If you're a registered voter, they can get information for that. If you buy certain magazines or you go on certain websites, or they collect data from so many things. It's not from a local assembly,
no,
or initiative. I'm sorry, on an initiative. So what if you just don't have time? I know. We're all very busy people here. How do you sign it, right? You were thinking that. So Loa Hubbard has been nice enough. She owns Allstate over on Gaffney. How would I know where she was? Look for the political signs, guys. You know, as soon as you turn on Airport Way, right there next to Napa, you can go in there from, I believe, 8:30 to 5:30, take 2 seconds and sign it. Or if you're downtown, we have Jerry Cleaworth at the coin shop right there at Cushman and Second. You can't miss him. And you can sign there, and it takes like a couple minutes.
Yep.
Probably take a little longer to find the parking spot, but
I have a booklet at my shop, you know.
For the tax cap?
For the tax cap. So, or no, I have it for the ranked choice voting. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so
that's
don't
right.
go to Brett, because Brett's one of the slackers.
Yep. Yeah.
But maybe after this, he will go over there and get one, now that he's announced that he has one.
Right.
Because he probably has 20 or 25 friends. Maybe.
Right. And just a few customers.
Yeah.
So.
But that's what it is. It's like, you know, just the people we see every day. I mean, I went to O'Reilly's in North Pole because the guy's like, I haven't been able to get out of here to find one to sign. I'm like, I'll be here tomorrow. And I brought my in, and, you know, him and a few others were able to sign it. If you have businesses, I will be happy or to send someone. They don't have to go anywhere, and we will bring it in, and you can just announce we're there. They can sign it. We'll leave. We don't, you know, give them any kind of lectures, but I'm telling you, if you want to make the Democrats in town happy, then ignore me, because that's what they're hoping for, because they know that we have to get so many signatures, and there are no, like, big events that are happening between now and September 20th.
Yeah, and if you look at this last year's budget, you know, we had to dip into your savings account. I was going to say our savings account.
No, but it's theirs.
It's your savings account. And we dipped in there pretty heavy. It was about $8.5 million, and you can only do that for so long before that account is certainly at its minimum. But if you continue, it's going to be depleted. Well, if you just look at this last year, we were $8.5 million over with our final budget. If it weren't for the tax cap, they could have just brought all that extra revenue in, you know. They wouldn't have been forced to go to the savings account, you know.
But the sad thing is, they know that, and they had made comments, not necessarily on record, that if they have no more savings, people will have to give that money to them. And so they're counting on, I mean, they're draining our savings on purpose, you know, and we're going to give it to them on a platter if we choose not to participate. It's just like the guy asked, can I get rid of property taxes altogether? Well, you can give initiative. That's a part of the system. I'm not telling you need to do that, But there's a lot of things you can do as a citizen, you know, to make government look the way you want it to. If you think it's not the way you want it, then there's ways to fix that outside of the assembly.
Right. And these initiatives are a way to do that. So one of the questions I get all the time, I'm going to let you explain it because I have to explain it to people all the time. But they say, well, didn't we just vote on this? You know, and the answer to that is yes. And the reason is
state. The state law says every 2 years, if you want to keep it enforced, then you have to get it back on the ballot. So you ask yourself, well, what happens if we don't get the signatures? So that ordinance stays in place. So let's say we don't get the signatures and we don't renew it next year. What happens? It stays as an ordinance until the Democrats decide that they don't want it. They'll bring it up in another ordinance to repeal it, and it will take 5 votes. So those 65% on average vote to keep it, it would take only 5 votes to get rid of it. Five. So, that's it. And then all of a sudden, now you have a new number, because the way the revenue cap works is it's based on last year's revenue plus cost of living plus new construction, and there's a couple of other things that go in it. But it is a formula that does it. Now all of a sudden you've just – kind of like what we talked about for the May 7th election. That would have bumped it up $10 million and would have had a new ceiling, you know, to go along with it. And that would have been forever. That wouldn't have been just 1 year. That bump would have continued to have those other things added to it. And the only ones that can solve it, I can't do it. Brett can't do it. We can make it available to you, but you have to be able to take a few minutes and go sign.
Okay, so we're going to try a phone call here. Let's see if I remember how to do this.
And
all
did
right.
you?
Well, we're going to find out. Caller, welcome to Maybe. Problem Corner with Tammy Wilson. Can you hear us?
Hi. Yes, I'm glad to have kind of a open forum. So I'd like to shift gears and talk about recently I received an application in the mail for voluntary road commissioner in my area.
Okay. Yes.
And so I looked at the requirements, not so much as the requirements, but what's required for the volunteer position. And I thought, holy cow.
Yeah, you should never have done that.
I thought, well, if I'm a volunteer and I have to do all of this, couldn't I possibly, I mean, as an incentive, can't they give me a little reduction in my property tax as an incentive? Just thought I'd throw that out there.
Well, that's an interesting one. So we'll talk about that here a little bit. So
so they do it for volunteer fire department, firefighters, but I'm pretty sure all those come through the state. So the state has a whole list of, you know, groups or ways that the boroughs can decide. Like, for instance, when they, you know, first put in the $25,000 exemption, that had to be approved by each one. It wasn't mandatory. So I'm pretty sure to be able to do that, it most likely would have to go through the state and add it to the exemptions, like the senior exemption, the firefighter exemption, and, you know, those types, you know, the disabled vet. Those are all in statute, state law, and I'm pretty sure it would have to go through there. But we could check it out because, I mean, I don't know if anybody ever thought about it, but there is a lot of responsibilities, and that's why they don't want to be road commissioners, because they get called in the middle of the night and all the other times, and these are just people who are volunteering to do the best job that they can.
Yeah, and you know, I chair the Road Services Commission, which is pretty much a commission that's pretty much defunct anymore. We just don't have any duties or responsibilities. But even at the district chair level, which we have 6 of them, it's hard to, you know, get them to do this stuff because, again, it's volunteer work. You know,
right.
A lot of people do complain about their road service area commissioner, but remember, it is a volunteer position, and it's, I have to kind of remind people, oftentimes you get what you pay for, you know, and, but you're right, there are a lot of responsibilities, and
we have amazing road service commissioners out there who put their heart and soul and all their expertise into it. So,
right.
I think it's worth looking into to seeing exactly what needs to be done though.
Yeah. Okay, got to go into another break. We lit up the phone line, so we'll try to tackle that after the break. We'll be right back with Tammy Wilson after this.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
We may not like to think about it, but it's back to school time and you need to be ready. New clothes and school supplies. But what about their smile? Time to get them over to affordable dental care for a checkup and a good cleaning just in time for the new school year. And remember, this is affordable dental care, meaning not only top-notch quality and service, but you'll have money left over for that new backpack, jacket, or whatever the must-have new school year item is. And it all starts with a visit to Affordable Dental Care, just off 14th Avenue.
Hi, it's Chuck Indereed, your host for Shooter's Corner, the show dedicated to firearms conversation and education and the shooting sports. You'll be on target for fascinating guests, expert tips, gear reviews, plus thrilling stories. Get the lowdown on local 2A events and more. You won't want to miss a single episode. Join me, Chuck Indereed, every Thursday morning at 11 for Shooter's Corner, where precision meets passion. Sponsored in part by Price RV. Listen right here on KFAR 660 AM.
Listen to KFAR Monday through Friday at 7:40 a.m. and 2:03 p.m. for the Precious Metals Report brought to you by Gold Buyers of Alaska. You can trust Gold Buyers of Alaska and their incredible attention to detail. Buy or sell gold, silver, bullion, investment metals. Protect your wealth and build your individual retirement account with Gold Buyers of Alaska, 915 30th Avenue. The Precious Metals Report, Monday through Friday on KFAR at 7:40 a.m. and 2:03 p.m. Gold Buyers of Alaska.
KFAR weather.
Daytime highs approaching 67 today under cloudy skies with a slight chance for rain. Winds out of the southeast 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Chance for rain. Lows level off around 51. Chance for rain tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 68. Cloudy skies. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
All right, Fairbanks, welcome back. I'm your guest host, Brett Roderman. Got Tammy Wilson in here. We have somehow managed to light up the phone board.
They want to know where to go to sign that, I'm sure.
So we're going to try another phone call here. So, okay, caller, you're on the air with Tammy Wilson.
Hello, this is Randy.
Hey, Randy.
I just want to say that I appreciate that caller that called in a little earlier in the hour about the property tax issue. It suddenly made me think, oh, I almost forgot about my property taxes that I owe. I guess the deadline is September 2 on Tuesday, and I owe a total of $2,200. So I'm glad I'm going to try to not wait till the last day there if I can, maybe today or tomorrow or something like that. But I was just curious. Now, I have already signed the petition some time ago, but if a person wanted to sign it, I know you listed a couple of places to go, but are they able to go just to the borough building and sign the petition?
No, they cannot, because you have to have sponsors of it, and the borough is not a sponsor. You can go pick it up to be able to get signatures, but you can't go in there to get the, to put your signature in.
Okay, just wondered. So Rare Coin Shop on 2nd Avenue and Allstate behind the Gaffney Napa Auto Parts Store, huh?
You got it.
You got it.
Hopefully they're lining up right now toward lunch.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, Randy.
Bye.
All right, we'll try another one here. Okay, caller, you're on the air with Tammy Wilson. Are you there?
Hello?
Are you there?
Hello?
I can hear you.
There we go. Try that. Try it again.
I happen to share a birthday with the philosopher George Hegel, and that's today.
Well, happy birthday.
I need to talk to Perry. My idea is, In the wintertime blues, could you pick one month and replay some of those fishing reports?
That's a Perry question. You'd have to call into the station and see if he'd be
able
to help you
along
with that. We'll pass it along, though. We'll see him on the way out of here. So, okay, we got one more here. Boy, we just had the boards just completely lit up here. Okay, caller, you're on the air. Can you hear us? Oop.
Hello?
Yep.
Hello?
We hear you.
Hey, I thought I'd only get Brett on today, but I guess I got two of them. I'm going to talk about the borough buses.
Okay, that's a loaded subject. Go ahead.
Okay, just out of curiosity, does anybody know how much these new buses cost the borough?
Very little, because the federal government paid probably, I think, about 90% of them.
Okay. How come there's nobody ever rides them?
You're absolutely correct. Well, and they don't write it. So I work with parents all the time who have to get to certain appointments and stuff like that. So I've been looking at it more often than not. And just to get across town could take you 2 hours to get there because they don't match up in any type of fashion. My understanding is it still doesn't go to the VA clinic. And they just opened up the Three Bears in North Pole. It doesn't go there either. And so even places that people might want to get to, you know, they'd almost rather walk.
Yeah, and the sad thing is with this, and I didn't know it really until, well, I had a clue, but then we got to see the numbers once you get on the assembly. But honestly, the federal government pays for most of that transportation system. The brand new building that was built on Van Horn Road,
Pegger, isn't it?
Pegger, yeah. No, that doesn't sound right.
Anyways, on the other side of town.
The new building, you know, it's a ginormous building.
Yeah, we've been there.
But the federal government paid for most of that. They pay for the buses. It's basically.
Well, they're not going to pay for the electric, and they don't pay for the upkeep.
Sure.
But you know how it is. It's like nothing's free. But you also still, I mean, you're still to the part, you still have to pay cash. So if you get on the bus and you have only a credit card, you're not going to be able to write it. You know, we don't have, I mean, most towns, you can go online and do all that kind of stuff, and we are still back in like the 1950s, and people just don't even have those kind of mechanisms that they use. So I think that's part that Brett's talking about. There's no incentive for them to get better because they don't really have a lot of money in the game.
And the ridership numbers that they share with us during the budget session would actually shock you until you figure out how they're counting the rides. So and I forget, I just remember the number was just overwhelming. Well, I had to ask the question, well, they're saying there's, what, 2,000 riders a day or something like that.
Right.
Well, but here's the deal. So let's say you get on a bus at the downtown station, and then that takes you to a certain stop where you have to transfer. Well, that's considered one rut. That's one person. They don't look at your starting destination and your ending destination. It's just that bus's starting destination and ending destination.
And who they pick up.
So the numbers look phenomenal, but any of us who've driven around or looked at those buses, I don't think I've ever seen more than five. Well, there's been occasions where I see more than five. My wife sees the one that goes to the university. That one is pretty heavily used. That's kind of a no-brainer.
Right.
You know, the students, but a lot of the other stuff going all the way
to
North Pole.
One, you don't see a whole lot, and there's no Saturday and Sunday, so if you're working and you got to work the weekend, then you still got to figure that out. So, yeah, I think we're with you.
Yep, we feel your pain.
And our pain.
Okay, another question. How much does the fuel cost for these new buses?
Oh, boy, I don't have my budget book. We'd have to pull the budget book.
Well, the fuel and stuff we don't know because these new buses just came, so they wouldn't be in the bus.
Yeah.
This is going to be the first year that they start using, because these are natural gas buses, the ones that they just bought.
Right. So we'd have the numbers for the diesel buses. That would be broken down somewhere in our budget book, but I don't remember all those numbers. Remember, our budget book is 1,000 pages. So it's all there. You can find it online. Our budget is very transparent, you know, but we literally have to have a budget book here to dig up those numbers.
Okay. And then why do we have these buses that hold 70 passengers when we get away with the short buses like the high school or schools have and cut the prices, the cost of it down a bunch?
Yeah, I've thought the same thing,
too. And they did
that
before. So when they started the gray line that went up to Farmers Loop and back down, they started with a van, you know, and that's all they had. And then they upgraded, you know, once they got to the point. But then, I don't know, I don't even think they do that one in the same fashion. I think because they can get bigger for, you know, the same as little, and they don't even think about the cost of everything else.
Yeah, and another one it could be, and I'm speculating here, but you hang around government long enough, you start to realize it would not surprise me if the size of the bus is based on our population density in the area, that basically the federal government says, we'll give you this money.
Or
but
on the 2,000 that's to, not doing it.
Right, you have to buy a bus of a certain size. And again, I'm totally speculating. I don't know that for a fact. It's just a lot of these things get thrown at us so much that it's like, oh, okay, that's why you do that.
That's a great question.
It is a great question. Why do we have 70 passenger buses when we only need a bus that's built on a van frame? You know,
yeah.
That's a great question. So,
it's like the schools, they have this, well, they call them the short buses. And why can't they use those instead of having 70-passenger buses, which I think the driver gets bored driving around by himself all the time.
Yeah, and I
think so.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's good. It's a good question. So, but okay, appreciate the call. Yeah, those are that's all really good stuff, you know, cuz I've thought that too. And we really do need to ask that question. I never thought about that in the budget. It's like, why are we buying these ginormous buses when there's 5 people on them, you know?
And it is costing, cuz it's over $1.2 million that we had to add to the budget this year. That was part of it that COVID was covering. So it's not all, you know, free.
It's not all free.
And
it's
that building is huge, and it's not going to be cheap to, you know, heat that building. Or like you said, we just ended up putting more money to put, like, overhangs on a building that, why they didn't do that, it's part of the beginning, you know, in the first place. But a lot of that this borough does is go on looking for quote-unquote free money, which is money that comes from you and I and everybody else here, and then don't even think about what the maintenance part of it is, because these natural gas buses, we don't know how they're really going to react when it gets down to negative 30, negative 40, whether they're going to have issues
right
on it.
Yeah, basically we're doing cold weather testing here.
So if you get on the bus, dress warm, because we don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. Supposedly these things are pretty reliable, because I asked some of those direct questions. But
I don't think they've ever actually been here, though.
But I don't know if they've been cold weather tested like that. So.
But the same group that told you that, you know, the nice, whatever you want to call the intersection, the Gars intersection, was an awesome idea, too. And I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one that says it sucks. It is awful.
Yeah, that...
So you got to watch who answers the questions.
Yeah, I love when you try to turn. Let's see. So you're on the Steese. Yeah, you're headed towards North Pole, and you want to turn right onto Airport Way. And the light for it is directly above... Mm-hmm. If you don't have a sunroof, you literally cannot see the light. And it's like, well, when are they going to put one further out, you know?
Now they're just ready for people to honk behind you.
I guess that's it. You got to rely on the person behind you to get through the Gars intersection, you know. So anyway, but yeah, those are great ideas. Certainly we've thought about that stuff, you know, with the buses, but and it would be a great question. I'd love to know the answer to that.
Absolutely.
So, anyway, all right, so a couple of minutes left here. Let give some more tax cap spiel here. So
you need to sign. So there's two options here, guys.
Oh, and also remind people that if we don't make the deadline, it's not the end of the world.
It is the end of the world. Do not tell them it's not the end of the world. Pretend it's the end of the world. Okay. So you could do a couple things really quick. So you can go down literally to the borough building between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. Show your driver's license or some type of ID. You sign the little paper and you get it, whatever signatures you can get. Right. And then get it notarized, and you get notarized at the borough, or you can get it notarized at the bank. And then it has a number of people you can call, or you can call me at 907-590-7602. I will help you make sure you get it where it needs to go. But we are still quite short of where we need to go. We do still have, you know, three and a half weeks to do it. But it's even though we can start it all over again like we did before. On ranked choice voting when we lost it, they're just going to try harder for you not to sign it next year. There'll be more things in it because they're going to see a win in that we couldn't get enough. That they'll look at us if we don't have enough support to be able to do it, which is just, in my opinion, untrue. So if you can't do it, then please go down and say hi to Jerry down at the coin shop on 2nd Avenue. It's on 2nd Avenue in Cushman, in case you have to park somewhere else. Or go to Lois. At Allstate. So
there
goes the music.
Yeah,
bye.
That's the music at full volume because I forgot to pot it down. So that's what happens when you got amateurs right on the board. But anyway, thanks, Fairbanks. Appreciate you guys listening. Thank you, Tammy, for coming in. And I have no idea who is hosting tomorrow. So I will be back whenever David allows me. Thank you.
KFAR 660 AM, Fairbanks. K248DK 97.5 FM, Fairbanks. The heartbeat of Alaska.
This This is a Fox News alert. What the FBI says about a mass shooting in Minneapolis. I'm Lisa Brady. FBI Director Kash Patel just confirming the shooting that left two Catholic school students dead and 17 people injured at a Minneapolis church is being investigated as a hate crime targeting Catholics and an act of domestic terrorism. Police say the shooter had three guns and opened fire from outside the church on children praying during a mass marking their first